This week, we're talking about what people with hyphenated names should name their kids.
We're looking down the double barrel on this one. Figure out what that joke means on this week's More Research Required.
Science and technology!
Building us lore.
That's not what lore is.
If I keep using the word, eventually I'll get it right. Hello, and welcome to More Research Required, a podcast where we talk about all the research studies we would do if anyone would give us the money. I'm Amy Giacomucci.
I'm Abby Norling Ruggles, which you may have noticed is a hyphenated name.
Yes, you have one of these things that we're talking about. How's it
yeah,
feel?
Yeah, I'm the expert on this topic because ever since childhood, people have been asking me, what if you marry another person with a hyphenated name? What are you gonna do? Are you gonna do four hyphens? Or three hyphens, four names? They have asked me that a lot of times. That is probably not the solution I would go for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I usually just get asked if anyone has called me guacamole. The answer is yes.
Yep. I don't know. I never really feel like I don't really have fewer options of things to do with my name than a person without a hyphenated name.
Really, you have more options. Because, like, you could just pick one of the names and then go on with it. Or you could, like, smash the names together. You mm-hmm. could do some kind of, like, I don't know. You could do some kind of separation and then regrouping and into like an abomination of a name.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Frankensteining the names together is a real option that people don't pursue often enough.
Yeah. So, not to like go straight into background research, but I was looking at the Wikipedia article and apparently in Germany there is a light tradition of doing that, which like,
I mean, that makes sense for how German works.
Yeah, like, it's an agglutinative language.
Yeah.
I'm glad that someone's out there doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's so ridiculous to act like it's, you know, this impossible struggle to have two names when there are so many cultures where, like, they do just keep adding names, you know?
Yeah.
Like, many Spanish-speaking cultures, they just have more than one last name, and everyone's okay with it.
Yeah, and, like, in British tradition, if you are very fancy,
yeah.
The joke that I made at the beginning, which I consider to be funny,
still just, like, silence from over here.
Someday, you'll laugh again. But a quote-unquote double-barreled name is when you have two hyphenated names, and that traditionally happens when a very, like, prestigious family name is going to be extinct in the male line otherwise, to, like, sort of preserve that
mm-hmm.
Lineage. So.
Yeah, which actually is ties into, this is not, like, my research, but an article that I was reading interviewed some people with hyphenated names to figure out what they were doing with their hyphenated names and for their kids, I mean, which is the topic of our episode. And there was one case where two people with hyphenated names married each other and they just went through their whole family tree and figured out which of the names was most likely to go extinct and went with that one. Which, like, honestly, not a bad strategy. Like, I've definitely, like, had that consideration in my head of, like, I would probably keep the Norling because it seems like the Ruggles is a little bit more likely to last to the next generation, but also, like, maybe me and my sister could each take one. Like, you know, it's definitely a thought process that I've had.
Abby, both of your names are so charming. And then together, they're like even more so. And the idea of ever splitting them up is...
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, upsetting. I would not change my name to if I got married. I like my name a lot. And I think that all the people who are like, oh, like a hyphenated name, you're making your kids' lives so hard. It's not that... I mean, yes, my name has 15 characters in it. It's okay. I've survived. I can write 15 characters.
Yeah, my last name is Giacomucci, and it starts with a G. So, like...
Yeah, I mean, everyone has different name struggles. Like, you know, the unless your last name is, like, Brown or Smith, people are gonna ask about your name. It happens. I think my last name is very fun and delightful, and I like it a lot.
It really is. It's so charming. Like, it's great.
I mean... Yes, people do mispronounce it a lot and misspell it a lot, but I'm not, that's not, like, because it's hyphenated. I think that would also happen with either of the individual names.
Abby, are those your Abby Norling Ruggles, Abby Norling Struggles?
Oh my god. Yes, they are. No, but they're not a struggle. I don't have struggles about my name.
Okay, well, I was referring... specifically to the people who spell it wrong, so that's not on you.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it's that much of a struggle. Like, and I even have quite a long name, you know? I mean, my full name is, if you count my two last names separately, I have four names and they're each seven letters. So that's like a lot of letters for a name, like much more than usual, but it has not really negatively impacted my life.
Good, I'm proud of you.
Just saying. I think, you know, people, like, just the fact that I've been asked this question so many, I mean, it didn't help that my best friend growing up also had a hyphenated name and was a boy, so people were constantly asking, like, what if you two got married and then you had to, like, double hyphenate your name? Yeah, it was a lot. It happened a lot. So much.
Why are people
society like that? It's not
compulsory
good.
Heterosexuality.
Yay.
That's a song I wrote.
It's a very good song. Thanks. Like it a lot.
Putting it on my single.
But yeah, no, I mean, I really like, you know, yeah, I probably wouldn't give my hypothetical child four surnames, but I think they're like... a lot of ways that, you know, I don't think that because I wouldn't do that, my parents made a mistake by hyphenating my name. You know, there's this whole narrative that I found. I guess we can sort of vaguely transition into background research here. I couldn't find specific numbers on how often people do this and, like, whether it's changed over time. There's definitely a narrative out there that, like, in the 70s and 80s and 90s, there was a boom of hyphenated last names and now it's, like, going away. And I don't know if that's actually true or not. Mm-hmm. But part of the narrative is like, you know, oh, this is such a temporary solution. The parents weren't thinking ahead to the next generation, so they've just like created this problem for their child. And like, they're only creating a problem if you assume that like, otherwise you would like stick to totally the default, I guess. Like, you know, in my opinion, the standard default of a woman taking her husband's last name also creates a problem because it's not a good solution.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially obviously, when you've got it, like if you're not just a traditional heterosexual marriage, like, you know, then there is no solution there anyway. So like, I feel like at the point where we are in society, everyone just has to make this choice anyway, and it's not that much harder for someone with a hyphenated last name.
Also, I would say that there are a lot of problems caused by previous generations, quote-unquote, not thinking ahead to the next one, and hyphenated names is not the one right, we should focus
relatively
on.
Relatively minimal as those go.
Yeah. And also, like, you know, the person gets to make their own choice with it. It's not like... there's a naming police out there. So it's the child's right to grow into an adult who does whatever they want with their name.
Oh, I mean, yes, correct. Regardless of what their parents named them.
Yes. Research.
Yeah. Do you have some research?
Yeah, I do really want to read a quote from an old-timey person who was roasting the concept of hyphenated names, if that's cool.
Nice.
This one, I just read the Wikipedia article first, and it's from 1876, Lippincott's Monthly Magazine, a popular journal of general literature. It is looked on as a public blessing, a boon to the general good humor when a statesman is endowed with a double-barreled name. It brings on a perpetual feu de joie of squibs and makes him so much more the more agreeable to everybody but himself.
Okay, right, so that's about the British tradition of the double-barreled name.
Yeah.
I found a quote from Elizabeth Cady Stanton at the second Women's Rights Convention in 1848. Who was talking about women taking their husbands' names and said, when a slave escapes from a southern plantation, he at once takes a name as the first step in liberty, the first assertion of individual identity. A woman's dignity is equally involved in a lifelong name to mark her individuality. We cannot overestimate the demoralizing effect on a woman herself, to say nothing of society at large, for her to consent thus to merge her existence so wholly in that of another. I do want to, like, shout out a problem with first-wave feminism.
Yeah, I was going to say, white feminism really has always been doing this, huh?
Well, I mean, yes. That was, like, the whole thing about first-wave feminism. Like, remember the thing where they had a parade for women to get the right to vote and they wouldn't let the black women march with them? Remember that?
Yeah. No, it's just sometimes there's, like, a reminder that sounds like a real person and not, like, a history book that doesn't exist. And this is a reminder that sounds like a real person.
Yeah. No, right. So, I mean, obviously that's, like, the first wave feminism, not perfect. But, like, I think it's interesting that, you know, for something that is often called out as, like, ooh, a trend of the 80s and 90s, you know, this is something that people were talking about in the year 1848.
Yeah, a rich tradition of, like, being weirded out by the naming conventions.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I guess partially as someone who was raised with a hyphenated name and my mom, you know, kept her maiden name. That's even a weird term. Her birth name. You know, I feel like I really had this value, like, imprinted on me from a young age. But, like, it's weird that women don't get to keep their own name. Like, that, you know, I feel like people just sort of, like, skate over that. Like, it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. It's a weird thing that's part of our culture.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like I thought about this as a very young person when I was, like, 8. And then I was just, like, I still wouldn't want to change my name. So that's, like, that's good, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that a lot of people I've, like, talked to and stuff felt like, you know, as a kid, like, oh, why would I change my name? That's weird. But then when they were actually getting married, you know, felt like, oh, I want to be part of a family with my husband, or it just makes things easier on forms or whatever. You know, like, there are reasons that people choose to do it, but I think a lot of them are more about, like, societal convention than, I don't know. I mean, so I guess this is actually really relevant to the main paper that I read, which was What's in a Name? Accounts of Married Women's Name Choices by Karen A. Foss and Belle A. Edson, 2009. So they just did a survey of specifically of women who either were in college or had a college degree and were in the workforce. So, like, definitely a subset of married women. And they justified this choice by sort of saying, like, oh, the women who are, like, more educated and independent are more likely to have, like, strong feelings about this, which is maybe true, but I would like to know what other people thought also.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, like, a very qualitative study that they did, because again, I couldn't find numbers. I wanted to find numbers. I couldn't find them. But they basically just ask women, like, why did you choose the name scheme that you chose with the three categories being kept your birth name, took your husband's name, or took a hyphenated name. So they just looked for recurring themes in these narratives that the women told about themselves. And the three main themes that they found were concerns about self, concerns about relationships, and concerns about cultural or societal expectations. With the last one being kind of an interesting category because they put both people who felt like, oh, I should take my husband's name because it's tradition, and also people who felt like I should keep my own name as a feminist statement in that same category. So, I mean, obviously those are both concerns about culture and societal expectations, but kind of from different angles.
Yeah, and also working to an entirely different outcome.
Yeah, right. So yeah, that maybe could have been divided into categories, but it would have been kind of a different approach methodology-wise. But anyway, so the results of this were that women with their husbands' names tended to place the most importance on relationships out of those three themes, I guess. With cultural concerns second and issues of self third. Those who retain their birth names valued self first, followed by relationships and then culture. And people with hyphenated names, or otherwise, I guess, new names, like if they did a smush name or something, they tended to value self and relationships equally, and then culture third. Which, like, makes some sense. You know, obviously, if you're, you know, I guess on a purely sort of, like, metaphorical level or, like, thematic level, taking your husband's name signifies, you know, that you're interested in that relationship and being part of that family, whereas keeping your own name signifies that you're interested in having your own identity, I guess.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense to hear laid out that way. Mm-hmm. I am really interested in hearing from other perspectives than, like, highly educated / independent women.
Yeah, definitely. So. I mean, right, I think there was an assumption on the part of the researchers that less educated and less independent women would be more likely to just follow tradition or, like, not think about it that much, I guess. But, yeah, I think that's a kind of a big presumption that they made without a lot of evidence.
Yeah, and also, like, it would be interesting to see what if the spread of values, like, was the same in those groups. I don't know how to describe what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure what you're saying.
Like, if if there were similar values versus naming structures in other groups as well, I think is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think they could have broken this down further, but what they did do was interesting, and they had a lot of, you know, good qualitative examples. My favorite was of a woman who kept her birth name, and if someone addresses a letter to Mrs. her husband's name, she returns the letter unopened. That's such a power move.
I was gonna say that's such a power move. I love her. Like, she's losing a lot of mail from people who mean well, but that's fine.
I mean, I don't know if she, like, writes something on it that explains why she returned it or not, but probably if you get the letter returned, they could, like, figure out what was up. And I mean, also, a lot of people who make that kind of mistake, speaking from experience, you know, the people who call me, like, Ms. Ruggles or Ms. Norling, a lot of them are trying to sell me something. So, like, that's okay. Not a great loss.
Okay, sure. It was a different time.
What was a different time?
Whatever year the paper was published, I don't
remember. 2009?
It was a different time. It genuinely was a different time. I mean, it was,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I also have a paper, and I sort of hate Reddit a little bit.
Okay.
So it's 1998 by James Stoddard. Double Surnames and Gender Equality, A Proposition and the Spanish Case. The premise of this paper is there's only one logical way that people can their names passed down.
Well, that's already the worst.
I, James Stoddard, know the exact way to make sure that this highly logical thing happens. And if you don't implement it, it's your fault that names don't make sense. It's like sitting next to like, it's like accidentally sitting next to someone else's dad at a banquet, you know, and the dad just tries to explain to you exactly how the government should work. So basically his proposition is that there are six desiderata of a naming system, and that's that everyone should keep the same surname throughout his or her life. Children and parents should have a surname in common. Siblings should have the same surname. A surname should provide like genealogical reference. Husbands and wives should have equal chances of passing their surnames on to future generations, which, thanks, James! And feasibility, the number of names included in a surname should not grow with each generation.
Yeah, I mean, these are all, like, solid, but, you know, I do think that, like, if someone wants to change their name over their life, or, like, you know, if a, like, a kid wants to shorten their name or, like, not have a name in common with their parent, like, all of that's stuff that individuals might want to choose, so it's not, like, a generally 100% true.
Yeah, like, but actually, if the above are accepted, it can be shown that there is only one general solution. Double surnames in a fixed order with a sex-based rule on which name is dropped.
Wait, with a sex-based rule on which name is dropped? What?
Yeah, so, like, when you are, so...
So, like, a daughter would pass on her mother's name and a son would pass on the father's? Something like that?
So the illustrative example here is if the ordering is the mother's name and then the father's name, the children could take one name from each of the parents.
Right.
And then they would drop their, they would drop their mother's father's name and their father's mother's names. And so, like, to support this, he just talks about Spain and how their double surnames work, because Spain has had a lot of, like, equal inheritance through male and female line. It's had a lot of, like, it's been more okay with female succession than a lot of other European countries, and, like, more independence for women, and, like, just they really care about genealogy in their naming. Yeah, but it basically just describes the way that they do it, and then he implies that his way, the thing he came up with, is slightly better and also the only logical thing to do.
Wait, so what are the improvements on his system over the Spanish system? Just that it keeps it short?
Also that there is slightly more equal possibility of men and of male and female names getting...
Which also is only true if you assume that no one is trans and no one is gay.
Yeah, it sure is, but...
Great job, you know. James.
James knows what he's doing, Abby. There is only one logical answer. As with all things, there is only one solution and everyone else is wrong.
The mathematician in me enjoys the fact that he did sort of set out, like, these are the goals, and so logically, here is the one solution that satisfies all of those. Like, it's very neat. But also, people are allowed to choose things.
And also, he did forget about large portions of the population, so.
Well, right. I mean, like, I think the sex-based rule part is a little questionable, but, like, also you don't really even need that. Like, you don't need a rule for that. People can just pick which one of their names they want to pass on.
Abby, you don't understand.
I mean, I guess there are situations where, like, that could cause strife in the family, so, like, it's not bad to have a rule, but also, it is bad to have a rule, because people should do what they want, and I think that we have a cultural problem where the rule is just that we pass on the man's name, and that's bad, and I don't like it.
Yeah, like, I do think my dad's name is cooler than my mom's a little bit. Sorry, Mom. but I think that, like, an anecdote doesn't make for a general thing that should always happen. And also, how many cool last names could I have had?
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, and in a system where there wasn't a general rule, you picking your dad's name over your mom's name would not have any significance. Whereas in the current system, it kind of, like, supports the patriarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. I could go for my dad's mom's last name, which would make me... Oh, wait. Should I not say maiden names on here? Because this is a podcast I'm giving to the internet.
I mean, we already say our last names. I don't know if it's, like... I mean, well, also for my name, like, both my parents' names are in it. So, like...
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm not going to, because bank questions that I might forget about
someday. Is your bank question your grandma's maiden name?
Not yet.
I think, actually, I probably have at some point used my mother's maiden name as a bank question, which is ridiculous because it is her current name.
And also because the internet exists and all information is out there all the time. Anyway, do you want to make a study?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So... Remember when we made a society on Mars?
Okay, actually, that was kind of my idea. Because, like, okay, I mean, not exactly. I mean, but yes, we can go with that. But I was just thinking, like, wouldn't it be nice to do a study that was, like, in isolation without the patriarchy being part of it? And, like, so what if we just raised some babies on the moon or on Mars, and we just, like, let them make choices?
Was it originally on the moon or on Mars? Because I do think that it would be fun to have continuity in this podcast where we're just creating a society that advances according to our scientific whims.
Oh, so that it would be the same. I thought you were saying that, like, we should make sure to establish these colonies separately.
No, I think that we should just, like, keep building this beautiful, beautiful society.
Okay, I don't remember, so it's wherever the previous one was.
Broom.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so we set up the society, and I don't know. I don't think we need to make a set of rules. I think we can just have them do it and then find out what their strategies were.
Yeah. No, I feel like that's what we should do here, is just create a society with the concept of surnames and then just, like, let them go.
Yeah. Which we can just use our Mars colony for.
Yeah.
Moon colony.
Definitely.
Yeah. Maybe it's a moon of Mars. Is Io taken? Nope, that's Jupiter. Gotta go.
Yeah, no, that's a... Also, isn't it, like,
ice? Phobos.
What?
Phobos?
Yeah, and Deimos.
I think that's the one that's gonna get broken up by Mars's gravitational pull, though, so...
Probably, like, not for a while, though.
Yeah, true. It'll be fun.
This is irrelevant to our study. Our study, so, I mean, if we wanted to do, like, a more, like, practical study, it could be survey a bunch of parents and see what they're doing. But, mm-hmm. Also, if nothing else, we gotta make the Mars colony as, like, a control group for, like, yeah, what happens with not sexism. Not that the moon colony wouldn't necessarily develop sexism, but it probably wouldn't get, like, as advanced in the patriarchy as, you know, because we're probably only talking about, like, a couple generations here, right?
Abby, we can't let them have moon sexism.
Well, but we're just letting them develop naturally, right?
Well, yes, okay, but it's the moon. You can't be a sexist on the moon.
I mean, that's a solid point.
Yeah. That's why everybody loves Buzz Aldrin so much.
What?
Neil Armstrong. I'm not sure.
I think that you have just contradicted your own point, because, like...
You can't be a sexist on the moon.
all of the people who have been on the moon are white American men?
That doesn't necessarily mean they're sexist.
From the 1960s?
Maybe there's one, and maybe it's Neil Armstrong.
I mean, like, I don't want to personally impugn the character of Buzz Aldrin. I'm just saying he was probably a product of his time. Especially, like, in the 1960s when he was on the moon.
Okay, so maybe there was moon sexism. We don't have to keep doing it. You can't be a sexist on the moon anymore.
Sure. We can be better than we were.
Yeah, that's our new rule for moon.
Cool. Okay, we have done a study. Amy.
Great.
What are the results of this study going to be?
The results of this study are going to be that people kind of do whatever they want, and it's going to be a little weird, but it's going to be fine.
Okay, I somewhat disagree. I think that our moon society will develop some kind of norm about, like, what you do with children's names, and hopefully if we've eliminated the sexism, the norm will not be gender-based, but I expect that there still will be a norm, and I don't know what it is.
Riddles.
What?
The parents have a contest of riddles with one another as they're naming their children.
Could be.
Yeah, for each child.
So they just all get different names?
Yeah, depending on who's better at riddles.
Okay.
At the time. Yeah. Abby, who's going to take us back to the moon, which is free of sexism?
Okay, I think in a plot twist, it's going to be those very, like, gender normative baby name website communities that are full of, like, moms with very creative name spellings. I think it's, you know, it's counterintuitive that they would fund a study that's about, like, eliminating sexism and gender roles, but I think that they would just want the most cutting edge baby name science out there. So I think that we could convince them to go along with this.
Mm-hmm. That's a good poll. I like it.
So do you have one, or do you just want to?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that the person who is going to fund this study is Captain Leon Sextus Dennis Oswald Fraudatilius Tolmach Tolmach D. Orlana Plantagenet Tolmach Tolmach.
That's not a double-barreled name. I don't know how many names that was.
He has a lot of forenames before his double-barreled name. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of names, which implies that he's been a part of a lot of cool families, so he probably could fund it. And I think he'd want to know whether his life could have been easier.
Yeah, at that point it probably does. I mean, well, okay, but not if they're all in the middle, because no one cares how many middle names you have.
Yeah, it's true. Well, anyway, yeah. If you want to talk to us about your cool, really long name, send us an email at moreresearchcast@gmail.com. We also have a Twitter, which is moreresearch_. We have a Tumblr, which is moreresearchrequired at tumblr.tumblr.com.
Nope. Well,
dot?
Kind of. I mean, it's moreresearchrequired.tumblr.com. You said Tumblr twice. I was a little confused
.tumblr.tumblr.com.
Yeah.
Is there a Tumblr? Tumblr? Not now. Not today.
I actually need to look now. I mean, it's probably they probably have it, right? They would.
Yeah, probably. While you're looking at that, our music is Marie Curie by the Crips off the album Discover Science.
Oh, no, there's nothing. We could, like, claim that.
I'm going to get the Tumblr URL right now.
You finish saying our music?
Marie Curie by the Crips off the album Discover Science.
Great job.
Leave us an iTunes review.
Yeah, do that, please. We would love to get a review from you. That would be...
Yeah.
Even if you gave us, like, 3 or 4 stars, we'd still love to have the review. But you should give us 5 stars.
Yeah, also 5 people have rated us now, so we can see what our rating is. So thank you all for giving us 4 or 5 stars. You guys are all excellent.
Yeah, thank you. We're done with the show now, hopefully.
Yeah,
right?
Give me a second. I want to see if I can get the URL. You can sign off. I'm sorry. This is really important.
Okay. Reserve Tumblr URLs you will never use and stay curious. Isn't like you knew. That's a dope scene in the pocket.
some bad names. Marie, Marie, Marie Curie. She's the type of scientist don't wanna be. Winning those Nobels left and right. Stella Pitch, London, Tober Night. Marie, Marie, Marie Curie. She's the type of scientist don't wanna be.
No, you can't put Tumblr in your username.